Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Ayin Beis. We are holding on daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. We are at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page of daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. Today's shir is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha, Allah Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadie, and for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, and also sponsored by the Klein family for Refuah Shleima, for Esther Rachel Bas Sima Liva Shishav Refuah Shleima Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael, also by Avishai Newman in honor of the yahrzeit of his father Chaim Naftali ben Rav Yaakov Shlomo, whose yahrzeit is Friday, the Neshama Shav Naliyah, and also by the Shark Tank podcast, a podcast about the challenges and opportunities of being a Ben Torah in the workforce. It's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other platforms. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for these sponsorships. So what we're going to discuss today is the following. First, the Mishnah is going to talk about why a Ben Sora Remora is killed. It doesn't seem that he did anything for which one is Chayiv Misa. And that's going to lead the Mishnah into a discussion of five things that could either be good or bad, depending on whether Rishaim have them or Tzadikim have them. That goes in both directions. Then the Gemara is just going to elaborate on that. And then the next Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to begin the sugya of Babim Achteres, last week's parsha. It's going to begin the sugya of Babim Achteres. So it's going to tell us this concept that if a person is breaking into your house, that you're allowed to kill the guy that's tunneling into your house to steal from you. The Gemara is going to have a machlokas between Rav and Rava, whether a Babim Achteres who takes Kalim with him, he steals things from you, is he obligated to return them? Or do we assume that no, since at the time that he was in your house, that he was tunneling into your house, you were allowed to kill him, so there's no dine mamonis whatsoever. Even if he takes stuff with him, he's not going to have to return it. So that's going to be machlokas Rav and Rava. The Gemara is going to have two rayos in that machlokas. Then the Gemara is going to discuss when is it that we assume the Bab Machteres can be killed, and when do we assume he cannot be killed? When do we assume that you have a right to kill the guy breaking into your house? When do we assume that you do not have the right to kill the guy breaking into your house? Then the Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about why we would have had a Hava Amina, that the dinim of Baba Machteres would be different on Shabbos than they are during the week. It's only a Hava Amina, but what is that Hava Amina? Then the Gemara is going to talk about who can kill the Baba Machteres. Is it only the person who is the homeowner, or is it anybody else? And which methods may be used to kill the Baba Machteres? Are you allowed to kill him however, or is there a specific Misa that must be given to him? And then at the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to discuss what we learn from the Torah using the example of a Machteres. Of all ways for someone to get into your house, why does the Torah use an example that he's digging a tunnel into your house? And that leads to a discussion as to whether a Babi Machteres and a Rodef, for that matter, require Hasra'a before you kill them, or can you just kill them when you see them doing their thing? So let's begin with the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Ayin Aleph and Beis. Ben Soramora Nidal Hashem Sofo. Last Mishnah about Ben Soramora. So Ben Soramora is punished not for what he has done, but because of what we know that he will do if he continues down this path. And since he's expressing addictive behavior, we know that he will continue down this path if he's allowed to live. So Yom Zakai Val Yom Schayiv. We'd rather he die before committing all of those sins, so he has fewer averos, rather than die after committing averos chamuros. Misas, and that the Mishnah notes Misas and Shol Rishayim, because of the fact that death saves a Rasha from future averos. When a Rasha dies, Hana Lahen, it's good for them because they don't have the opportunity to do more averos. It's also good for the world because they're going to commit less crime, and we will have saved society from the evil things that these Rishayim would do. L'tzadikim, when tzadikim die, ra lahen, it's bad for them because they're not able to amass more zechuyos, meaning you would think a tzadik in Olam Haba, it's good for him, he's living the life in Olam Haba, he has everything, but in Olam Haba there's no getting new mitzvos, there's no amassing new zechuyos, so it's bad for the tzadik because the tzadik wants every opportunity to chop another mitzvah. But Rali Olam, and it's also Rali Olam, because while the tzaddik is alive, his zechuyos protect his generation, and he'll be able to inspire people to do tshuva. After he dies, then he's not able to be mezaka his dar anymore. Tos Yontov writes that even though the Mishnah gives a reason for the onesh of Ben Sora Mora, you don't have to say that our Mishnah is assuming, like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, that Tarshin and Taimed Dekro. Dikra. Sometimes we give reasons and it doesn't mean that we're Darshinan Taimed Dikra. Darshinan Taimed Dikra means that we are Doresh, as in the Yud Gimel Mishnah Torah and Drash Sabbath. Now, Taimed Dikra is a way to derive a halacha. Our Mishnah is giving a reason. Everyone agrees that it's a good idea to give reasons for the mitzvahs in the Torah, not to claim that we know all of the reasons, but to give reasons to make it more understandable. So that's what Tosyantov points out, Dafka, in this Mishnah, that even though the Mishnah is giving a reason, it's not taking a stand in the Machlokas Tanaim about Darshina Taimed Dikra or Lo Darshina Taimed Dikra. Actually, it's on the Mishnah Parachel. It's on the Mishnah in the 10th Parak, not on the Mishnah here, but Tosyantov makes a Sa'ara about this Mishnah. So the Ben Sarah Mor gets killed before he does these Averus Chamuros, because it's good for him to be prevented from doing more Averos. Now, it's interesting, the Achronim are all bothered, and Rishonim are bothered by the following Kasha. The Pasuk in Bereishis, Perech Chafalim, says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard the tefillah of Yishmael Basher Husham, and he therefore saved Yishmael when he was in the desert, and he saw this Be'er, and he was able to survive. And the Medrash says that at that time, the Malachi Asharis came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they said, Adam Shuasa the Hamas Aspanecha Betzama Atamal Lo Be'er, the person who's going to come and try to kill all your children, you're going to give him a be'er to save his life. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said back to the Malachim, Mahu Achshav, Tzadik or Rasha? What is he right now? Tzadik or Rasha? Amr Lo, Tzadik. Well, right now he didn't do anything wrong yet. Amr Lehem, Eini Donas HaAdam Ela B'Shaito. We can only judge a person Basher Hu Sham, based on what he is, what he's done so far. We don't look at what he will do. And this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what he's going to do. It's not speculative. He knows exactly what Yishmael is going to do. So how could it be that Ben Sarah Mor would need an al shame sofa? We predict, and we're not a Kodesh Baruch, we predict what he's going to do based on his past behaviors, and we're ready to kill him for what he will do. But Yishmael is Basher Husham. So the Chizkuni and others explain that there's a difference between Ben Sarah Mor in the case of Yishmael. Ben Sarah Mor already started to do. He started to do these things, so we know that he's going to continue on that path. Yishmael was still a tzaddik b'asher husham. There are other answers given as well. Maybe something fundamental to the character of Yishmael. There are different possibilities, but that's a kasha that has to be dealt with. Okay, once we're talking about things that are good for rishayim, bad for tzaddikim, so yayin v'sheina l'rishayim analen v'anali olam. Drinking wine to the point of falling asleep for rishayim is good for them, and it's good for the world. Let them sleep. Let them stay out of trouble. So, and they'll enjoy it too. They'll enjoy getting drunk and falling asleep. Typically, we assume tzaddikim should not be doing such things. The tzaddikim ralehen v'rali olam. For a tzaddik to drink a lot to the point that he's sleeping all the time, that's terrible. He's not going to be able to be productive if he's sleeping all the time. He shouldn't be drinking all the time. The only exception, of course, is Purim, where the Rama says you drink yosem milimudo till you fall asleep. So you then you go to sleep a little bit. So you sleep a little bit extra in order to fulfill Chai V'nish L'Vesumei. But generally speaking, that's the exception that proves the rule. Generally speaking, that's not the way a tzaddik behaves. Now, the Yerushalmi in the 8th Perek, over here, the Yerushalmi says that it's true that this Ra'a of Shtiyas Yayin is a real evil. However, it's only if it's maybe if it's a lot of wine that brings about a lot of sleep. But a little bit of wine that gives a person an ability to rest his body a little bit more, a little bit of wine, a little bit of sleep, that taka is good for tzaddikim, because the tzaddikim will have more of a yishav hadas. He'll be able to learn more, to be able to accomplish more. So it's not that a person is never allowed to drink any wine and he's never allowed to take any naps. It means that it's got to be done in significant moderation. Pizur l'rishayim, when rishayim are spread apart and they don't have the ability to connect with one another, hanal lehen v'anal liolam. It's good for them, and it's good for the world. A lot less evil is going to happen when rishayim don't get to put their heads together. L'tzadikim ralehen v'ral liolam. When tzadikim are spread apart and they don't get together, that's bad for them because they could impact each other in such a positive way, and it's bad for the world because when they join forces, they're able to do such great things for society. But if everyone's just working in their own corner, then they're not going to be able to do nearly as much. Kinus l'Rishayim, when people get together, when Rishayim get together, Rala and Rali Olam, it's bad for them, bad for the world. The Tzadikim, when Tzadikim get together, Hanala and Va'anali Olam, then it's good for them and good for the world. Shekel l'Rishayim, having a sense of peace and tranquility for Rishayim, Rala and Rali Olam, because if a Rosh is bored, he'll get creative in terms of how to fill his time, and that's not a good thing. The Tzadikim, Hanala and Va'anali Olam, if a Tzadik doesn't have to deal with too much stress in his life and too much other things that are going on, so he'll have the opportunity to think of new initiatives and good things to do, and more Torah to learn, and that will protect his generation with the major zechuyos that he's going to be able to generate. So says Gemara Tanya, we have a brisa that elaborates on what we just said in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yosi Egli Yomer V'chim Ipnesha Achozet Hatimar Basar V'Shos Chatzilu Gaina Yitalki Yomer Tori Yotzil Bezin Lisakel. What? Because this kid ate a little meat, drank a little wine, we're going to give him skila? Where do we ever find that for stealing a little bit of meat and wine, person is chayv skila? Eli higia Torah l'sof daito. The Torah gets to the sof daito shel ben sora mora. The Torah gets to the sof daito of the ben sora mora. Meaning we know exactly the road he's heading down. Shel sof megamer nichse aviv. Eventually, his father will run out of things for him to steal. Umevakish limudo, but he's still going to want to feed his addiction. Ve'ino motzei, and he's not going to be able to find where to feed his addiction with, or where he's going to get the money for it. So what's he going to do? He's going to resort to a life of crime against other people in society, not only against his parents. V'yotzei l'prashos t'rachim, he's going to go out to the road, umelastimus abrios, and he's going to be a bandit that steals people's money on the road. He's going to carjack people and take all their money. So amra Torah yomus zakai val yomus chayiv. So the Torah says better for him to die before he does all of that rather than to die after he does all that, and he's chayiv misa. Then the Tanakh explains that which Beis Din kills a person before he does all these averos, misasin shel rishayim hanolam v'anoliolam. Killing the person in advance is good for him and it's good for the world. It saves the world from all of his future criminal activity and it saves him from being chayiv for all that criminal activity in Olam Haba. Ul tzadikim ralehem v'rali olam. And for tzadikim, premature death is bad for them and it's bad for the entire world. So Ben Sora Mora is killed before he does these averus chamuros, since it's good for him to prevent him from continuing to do horrible, horrible things. The Yad Ramah points out that even though we're going to say that you don't kill a person in order to prevent him from violating Chil Shabbos or from violating Avodah Zarah, but over here where you know that he's for sure going to kill other people, we kill him in order to prevent him from killing other people. Meaning, one might have imagined Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayos, Shfichas Damim, they're all the same. And and we don't kill someone in advance of being Mechal Shabbos or in advance of Avodah Zarah. Yet we do kill someone in advance of murder, apparently, that we know that he's going to murder, and the reason he gets skila, even though normally rotzeach gets sayif, meaning that the Yad Ramah points out such a kasha, no, that the whole reason we're killing him is because what he will one day do. Okay, that's a leap already, that we're going to kill him for what he will do that he hasn't done yet, but then we're going to give him a misa that's more chamor than he would have gotten had he actually done it. If he was actually a murderer, he'd get saif, and now we're giving him skila. So the Yad Ramah writes, because he's also Mechal Shabbos, because he's gonna do that too. So we wouldn't kill him in advance for the Chil Shabbos. We're killing him in advance because he's going to be a murderer. But we're pretty confident he's going to be Mechal Shabbos too. So which type of Misa we're going to give him is going to be for the Chil Shabbos. The Ochel Ner explains that the reason he gets Skila is because he's going to be Melastimus Abrios and he's going to kill them on Shabbos too. So he's going to be Chayiv Skila for Netilas Neshama on Shabbos. Just the act of murder on Shabbos, that itself is a Chil Shabbos. Right, so he's going to be chayiv for the worst crime. Someone was just telling me that there was a young Jewish man in his shul who's a very pro-Palestinian and anti-Israel person, and he tweeted on October 7th support for the Hamas attack against Israel. He was saying, like, what do you do with something like that? Here's a person who's a Rodef, and he's a Mechalel Shabbos. So probably that's the type of Ben Sora Mora that you could do the Skilo also, right? Meaning the person is, so the Chilul Shabbos gets added on top. We normally wouldn't go after the Mechalel Shabbos and such, but the Chilul Shabbos gets added on top of that. Shayna v'yayin l'rishayim, I'm not saying halacha l'maisa, I'm not saying that anyone should kill anybody. Shayna v'yayin l'rishayim, anol lehem v'anol li'olam. Sleep and wine for Rishayim is good for them and it's good for the world that they're sleeping a lot. Tzadikim ra'lem ra'liolam. Sheket l'rishayim, having a sense of tranquility for Rishayim, ra'lem ra'liolam, is bad for them, bad for the world. Tzadikim anol lehem v'anol li'olam. For tzadikim, it's good for them and good for the world. Pizor l'rishayim, being scattered for Rishayim, anol lehem v'anol li'olam. Good for them, good for the world. Tzadikim ra'lem ra'liolam. For tzadikim, bad for them, bad for the world. Okay, now we move on to the next Mishnah, the sugya of ba b'machteres. So the reason this comes up over here is because just like Ben Sora Mora is Nidon al Shem Sofo, a Baba Machteres is also Nidon al Shem Sofo. Someone who's tunneling into your house because you're able to predict that if it were to come to it, he would be willing to kill you if you stand up against him, so you're allowed to kill him in advance before he comes and he kills you. So a Baba Machteres Nidon al Shem Sofo. Someone who comes to steal from your house, there are ways that the Torah was matir to kill him even though he hasn't killed anyone yet, because we assume that he will eventually kill, since his coming into the Machteres is al das, that if you stand up against him, he's going to kill you in order to continue his crime. So therefore, he's a rodef, and you're allowed to kill him. Hayabav Machteres v'shibar asachavis, if a person was tunneling into someone else's house and he broke something on the way in, im yesh lo damim, if he's the kind of person that we say that you would not be allowed to kill him, he has blood, he's considered to be a person who is not coming to kill you, and therefore you would not be allowed to kill him, then chayiv, then he's going to have to pay for the barrel that he broke, because he himself is not chayiv misa at that moment, because you're not allowed to kill him at that moment, so he's going to be chayiv for the mamon. But im ein lo damim, but if he's someone whose blood is cheap, he's someone whose blood is free, that he's a person who you, because you know he will kill you, you are allowed to kill him, so he's chayiv misa at that moment, then pater, then he's not going to be chayiv to pay for the barrel that he broke. Because even though lemaisa, he was not killed when he came in, you cannot be mechayiv imamon, because there's a din that mechayiv imisa shogigin or pater as well. Meaning we know there's a din of kamle bidraba minei, that when a person is chayiv two onshim, he only receives the more severe of the two, and he's pater from the less severe of the two. But the chiddush on top of that is that even when he doesn't actually receive the more severe of the two onshim, he's still pater from the less severe. Even if he was chayiv imisa shogigin, whatever he did that was a capital crime, he did b'shogig, so he's not going to be killed for that. He still is pater from any mamon, any monetary obligation that he incurs at that time. So the gadav who's baba machteres, where you're allowed to kill him, you're not mechayiv mamon for that maisa, that's shayich a chiyuv misa. That's how Rashi explains, and what Rashi's assuming is like the sheet of the Tanit Bechiskiya that appears in Ksubas Tav Lamed Hei, that any time you have a maisa that involves a chiyuv misa, you're pater from tashlumin, even if you did that maisa b'shogig, and therefore you're not actually going to be chayiv misa. So we are also, the God of his Baba Machteres is a chiyuv misa, because you're allowed to kill him, so he's pater from tashlumin. The Ad Ramah points out, you don't need to say like the Tanit Bechiskiya, meaning even those who disagree with the Tanit Bechiskiya and hold that chayav imisa shogegin your chayav to pay would be moda that a baba machteres is potter from paying, even though lemaisa he doesn't get killed, because dafka by chayav imisa shogegin, where lemaisa he wasn't chayav klal, he wasn't chayav in misa at all, that's where there's a chayav mamon. But when it comes to a ganav who's baba machteres, where at the time that he was in the machteres, you actually practically could have killed him, that's much worse than a shogeg. That even those who disagree with the Tanit Bechiskiya would say that that would be enough to exempt him from payment. So that's the distinction between Chayav Misa Shogigin versus Abav Machteres, which is much worse. And because it's much worse, it for sure is going to potter him from any monetary payment. Amar Rava, my time at the Machteris. So Rava says, what's the reason that the Torah says that above Machteris can be killed, that it's Ein Lo Damim? Because Chazaka in Adama Minatzma Mamono. We have a Chazaka that if someone sees somebody else breaking into his house to steal all of his stuff, he's not going to stand idly by. He's obviously going to do something about it. He's going to try to defend his property. Vahai Meimar Amar. So the Ganav, knowing this full well, thinks to himself as he's plotting his crime, Iazilna, if I go to steal and the Balabais catches me, I know he's going to stand up to try to save his property, and he's not going to let me just come in and steal all of his stuff and just walk right out. And therefore my plan A is not to wake him up, to go in, get out, and not to encounter him and not to confront him. But if he confronts me, I know that if he wakes up, he's going to confront me. If he sees me, he's going to confront me. And therefore my plan B is that if he does so, I will kill him in order to make away with his money. That's how Rashi understands this line of the Gemara. The Adrama and the Chiddush Aran understand it a little differently. They ask that every ganav is not every ganav is coming al iskei nefashos. Many of them, their plan B is not when he catches me, I'm going to then kill him. Their plan B is when he catches me, I'm going to run as fast as I can and try to get out of there as quickly as I possibly can. So how can you say that you're so sure that he's going to, that his plan is to kill him? So he says, no, a guy who's Baba Machteris knows that the Balabayas may want to kill you, meaning I'm going to try to run away, but if he catches me, he might kill me. And since I know that if he catches me, he might kill me, I will then be willing to kill him in order to get away. So, and that's even though the first thought of killing, in the Yad Ramah's understanding, is not on the Ganav side. The first thought of killing would be from the Balabayas' side, but the Ganav is initiating that thought by going into the fellow's house, and therefore he's the one that's considered the road, Dave. So that's how the Yad Ramah understands this line in the Gemara. So anyway, V'atorah Amra, and the Torah says, "Imbal lahargecha, if someone comes to kill you, Hashkem lahargo, you should kill him first." So that's why you're allowed to kill the Baba Machteres. Amar Rav. So Rav says the following great chiddush. Hababa Machteres v'natal kelim. Let's say someone's Baba Machteres, not like the Mishnah said, that he broke something on the way in where you're punter from paying. No, he took something. He took kelim when he was there. V'yatza, and he left. So he goes and he steals all your silver and he left. Potter, he's potter from ever returning it. So his house has your leichter and your stuff, and he doesn't have to give it back. My taima bedamim kaninu, because he was chayiv misa at the time that he took it, and anytime you're chayiv misa, you don't have to. You have no monetary obligation for anything monetary chiyuvim that you incur at the time that you're chayiv misa. So he just doesn't have to give it back. So Amar Rava, Rava says, oh, well, wait a second. Mistavra milsed Rav Bishah Shiber delesnuhu. I understand Rav Shita, if the guy broke something where the item no longer. Yankee, if you could just mute yourself, we're getting a lot of feedback. I understand the shita of Rav. If the guy broke something where the kelim are no longer around and he's not able to give him back, so the taina on him is only to pay to pay the value of the object. So since at the time of the Geneva he had a fee of Misa, so he's not going to have to pay for the object at that time. Aval nata lo, but if he took something and it's still around, it's still here, why should he continuously be exempt? He should then have to pay back for that item. Rashi and Tosos assume that Rava holds that even if the Ganav broke the Kalim after he left the Machteres, he doesn't have to pay, right? Meaning, even if he walked out with it, the Mishnah spoke about where he broke it on the way in. He broke it as he was above the Machteres. Then Rav said, even if he didn't break it at all, he still has it. So the way Rashi and Tosfos understand, what Rav is saying is the middle case. He took it, now he has it outside, then he broke it. So it doesn't exist anymore, but he didn't break it as he was tunneling in. So that's where Rava says, you know what, I agree, in such a case, he does not have to pay for it. That's how Rashi and Tosfos understand. Because if all Rashi and Tosfos were saying, if all Rava were saying was that he broke it on his way in, he doesn't have to pay, well then what's Rava saying different than the Mishnah? I don't need Rava to tell me that. So that's how Rashi and Tosfos learn. The Adrama and the Chiddush Aran disagree. They say, no, a Baba Machteres is only potter from paying for things that he broke while he was Baba Machteres. If it made it out of the machteres with him, then at that moment he had a chiyuv hashava, and now he's going to have to pay for it. Okay, so now Rava says that you understand mitzad asvara what I'm saying, but velokim amar Rav afilu natal, meaning while I think Rav's shita makes no sense if the guy walked out with the stuff and it's still around. It is in fact what Rav held, that even if he was natal, even if he took it and he still has it, he still is not going to have to pay for it. That's what Rav held. So yesh lo damim v'nen suchayiv. Because if you were to have a case where a regular ganav were to take something, you know, you have a regular case where someone who you're not allowed to kill, Rav is moda that there is a chiyuv tashlumin for the kelim, and still if the ganav took kelim and then an onus happened, he's going to be chayiv to pay for them, and he cannot say, well, it was an onus, it wasn't my fault. Why can't you say it's an onus and it's not your fault? Because it's considered to be in your rishus. It's considered to be almost like your stuff in that you're the one that bears the loss for an onus. So a ganav lira'aso, we consider it to be his. We say that it's yours to the extent that anything that happens to it, it's your responsibility and your loss. So hachanami, so we are also by a ganav that's baba machteres, where you're allowed to kill him, we consider it as if it's his, it's completely his, and therefore he has no chiyuv hashava, and he was been kona these kelim. And when was he kona these kelim? At the time that he was chayiv misa. So he's not going to be chayiv for having been kona these kelim by stealing them. So says Gemara Velohi. But that's not true. It's not mistaver like Rav. Kiu kimna rachmana bereshusay le'inyan onsin aval inyan makna bereshusay demarayu kaimi. We're confusing over here kinyane geneva with actual kinyanim. Meaning, when it comes to his chi of onsin, we say it's ki'ilu, it's his, in the sense that no matter what happens to them, he's the one that bears responsibility. But not that it's actually his. When a person steals something, when we say that he's like the bailin, bereshusay kaimi, that's to work against him. That's to say that he's going to be responsible for onsin. And midat hava shoel, just like we find by someone who borrows something from someone else, he doesn't own the object, but he's still chayiv to pay the mashil, and his din is much more chamer than other shomrim. He's chayiv an onsim as well. So because kolana shalos, so he has the most severe. So same is true by a ganav, that even though he doesn't own the chayfetz, he has to return it, but nevertheless he's still chayiv an onsim. So now the Gemara tries to prove who's right in this machlokas between Rava and Rav. So raya number one, Tanan, we had in our Mishnah, Bab Machteres v'shibra zechavis, if a guy was tunneling into your house and he breaks a barrel, yesh lo damim, if his blood is not cheap, then chayiv, then the ganav has to pay for the nezik that he did. But ein lo damim, if his blood is now cheap because you're allowed to kill him, then pater, then he's not going to have to pay. Time with the shibar, the only reason he's pater is because he broke the kli, the chayiv lo damim pater. Hanot alo, the implication of the Mishnah is if he walked out with the kli, then he's not going to be pater, he's going to have to give it back, which is a raya to Rava against Rav. So says, well, no, even if he took the kli, the reason it gave an example of breaking the chavis, to tell me that if it's a case of yesh lo damim, that he's someone who was not coming with any murderous intention, then even if he broke the kli, he's going to be chayiv. Well, says Mar, of course, pshita, mazaku, if anyone who's not a murderer, who just breaks your stuff, obviously he's chayiv to pay for the stuff that he broke. Meaning, what would the chiddush be in that? Now, how kamashmalan, da'afilu shalo b'kavana. No, the chiddush is, he didn't intend to break anything. He tripped on the barrel and he broke it. So he's still going to be chayiv to pay for that. Well, still my kamashmalan, adam wadli olam, what? You're telling me that when you damage someone's property unintentionally, you're chayiv? Tanina, that's a Mishnah Baba Kama. Adam, it's like the ABCs of Hezek. Adam Udi Olam, Ben Meshogim, Ben Mezid, Ben Baonis, Ben Baratzon. An Adam is always a Muara, an Adam always has to pay for damages that he does. So Kasha, so that Taka is a difficulty with Rav, and therefore Rav's Shita is more compelling, that if a Baba Machteres walks out with your Kalim, he has to return them afterwards. So the Sezg Marabot will now have a Kasha on Rava. Must Rav Bibi Barabaya, I'll ask you from a Brisa against Rava, that a Gonev Kis Bishop Shabbos, if a person is stealing a wallet on Shabbos, chayiv, he has to return it, and he cannot say, I don't have to return it because I was being in Mechal Shabbos at the time. So come le b'drab mineh, I'm only chayiv for the Chal Shabbos, and I'm not chayiv for the mamon. Sharin is chayiv b'gneva kodem shiavol deyes for Shabbos, because the chayiv gneva was as soon as he picked it up. The Chal Shabbos was only when he carried it outside. So ayim agar v'yotze, but if he was dragging the wallet along the ground, and when he got to the doorway. He put one hand in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim near the karka, and he just pushed the wallet into that hand. So then Pater, then he's talking going to be Pater, Shari Yisra Geneva, Yisra Skila, Ban Kechad, because Yisra Geneva and Yisra Skila all came at the same time. Now that's a kasha on Rava, because he has the wallet, so give it back. What do you mean, Kam Levi Drav Minei? You're supposed to, if you have it, give it back. No, Rava would be miyashev that price is talking about where the wallet's no longer here. The ganav threw it into the river right away. But if the wallet were still here, then of course, yes, he would have to give it back. Then the Gemara says, this was not just theoretical, this happened. Rava ignivule dikri b'machtarta. Rava had a baba machtaris steal some animals of his. Adrinu ne'alei, and the baba machtaris came to return them. V'lo kablinu, Rava refused to accept them back. Amar hol v'nafik mipume d'rav. He said, even though my shita is that when someone's baba machtaris and they take something, they're obligated to return it, but Rav said otherwise, and therefore I'm going to live up to the standard of Rav and not take back what the fellow had stolen from me. The Tosfos raises the question, well, wait a second, someone who's pater because of Kam Lebidramine is still Chayiv B'dinei Shemayim, meaning if a person is pater from Mammon because he was incurred a more severe onesh at the same time, right, he was doing Chiv Misa at the same time, Beis Din can't punish him, but B'dinei Shemayim, he has to give it back. So why did Rav not take it back? B'dinei Shemayim, these people are giving it. So Tosfos says, because they didn't know that they were Chayiv B'dinei Shemayim. They thought that they were Chayiv B'dinei Adam, and that's why they were giving it back. So Rava says, I'm not going to take it back from you on the premise that you're chayiv to give it back to me, b'dinei Adam, because you're not. So, meaning according to Rav, you're not. And I'm living up to the shita of Rav. Okay, Tan Rabban, we have another brisa. Ein lo damim, im zarcha Hashem shalav. The pasuk says that ein lo damim zarcha Hashem shalav, then damim lo. V'chi Hashem shalav b'lvad zarcha. What does it mean? The sun shines on him. The sun shines on the whole world. Elam baruch ha'davar k'shemesh. No, it means that if the matter is as clear to you as the sun, she'ein lo shalom imach, that this person is not coming to you with peaceful intention, he's going to kill you. So argei, you can kill him first. V'im lav. But if it's not clear to you that he wants to kill you, then al targei. Then you're not allowed to kill him. But tani yidoch. We have another brisa. Im zorcha Hashem shalav damim lo, v'chi Hashem shalav b'levad zorcha. Same kasha. Is the sun only shining on him? Ella im baruch Hashem kashemesh sheyesh lo shalom imcha. If you're 100% sure that he will not kill you, then al targeu. Only then can you not kill him. But v'im lav. But if you're not sure, tahargeu. Then you're allowed to kill him. So it says more kasha stama stama. It's a kasha. One brisa against the other. One brisa assumed that in order to be allowed to kill him, you have to be sure that he would kill you. The other brisa assumed that in order not to be allowed to kill him, you have to be sure that he's not going to kill you. So the conflicting mashmos about what to do in a case of suffek. So lo kasha says, there's no stira. Kan ba aval ben. The first brisa that says that you're not allowed to kill a guy unless you know he's going to kill you is talking about the father is coming into the son, to the son's house, where you can assume misafek, a father will not come to kill a son. But if it's only if you know bivadai that your father's a nut and that he's going to kill you, only then are you allowed to kill him. Whereas kan beben alaav, in the case of the second brisa, it's anybody else. So ben alaav is an example, but kal v'chomer every other relationship where the assumption is that he is a threat unless you know that the person is not a threat. So Amar Rav, kol da asi alai b'machtar to katil nalei. Rav says, you know, anyone who would come into my machteres, I would kill them. I would assume them to be a threat. Levar me Rav Chanina Bar Shila, except for Rav Chanina Bar Shila, because he would never kill me. So my time, why? Why is Rav Chanina Bar Shila different? Ilei mishum de tzadiku, if it's because he's such a tzadik that you know he would never do such a thing, well, ha ha ka asi b'machtarta. Well, in your hypothetical, Rav, he's breaking into your house. So obviously he's not such a tzadik in this hypothetical, so that can't be why you're not going to kill him. Ella mishum dekimli begavei demerachim lekarachim aval ben. He wasn't talking about the tzidkus of Rav Chanina Bar Shila. He was talking about the relationship he had with Chanina Bar Shila. He said, "We are such good friends. He loves me so much that I know that even if he was so desperate that he was breaking into my house to steal from me, and I would stand up against him, he would never kill me. He would rather die than kill me, and he would rather get caught than kill me. And therefore, I'm not allowed to kill him." him in such a case. Tan Rabbanan, damim lo bein b'chol bein b'shabbos. When we say that someone who's not coming al iskei nefashos, you're not allowed to kill him, that's true whether it's a weekday or a Shabbos. Ein lo damim, when we know that the person would kill you and therefore you're allowed to kill the baba machteres, that's bein b'chol bein b'shabbos. That's also whether it be a weekday or a Shabbos. Well, bishlam ein lo damim bein b'chol bein b'shabbos. I understand a case where the baba machteres that's coming al iskei nefashos, you're allowed to kill him both on a weekday and on Shabbos. It's rech, I understand the chiddush of that. I might have thought that just like Beis Din doesn't carry out Misas Beis Din on Shabbos, so you can't do it either. You can't kill the Bab Machteres on Shabbos either. So it comes to teach me that you're allowed to kill him. But the fact that you're not allowed to kill the guy who's not coming al iskei nefashos, both on a weekday and on Shabbos, if you're not allowed to kill him on a weekday, obviously you're not allowed to kill him on Shabbos. So what's the chiddush? So I'm Rav Sheshes Sol Mitzvah. No, it's coming to tell me that if, let's say, as he's Baba Machteres, the wall caves in on him and he's trapped under a pile of rubble, so normally you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save a person's life. But if the Ganav is Baal, this Kein Nefashos, so he's considered a Gavra Katila, and you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save his life. That's the Chiddush, that if he's not coming to kill you, so then you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save his life. But if he was coming to kill you, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save his life. Tan Rabbanan, Vuhuka Vemes, Vuhuka Bekal Adam, Vemes Bekamis Shatiyachal Amiso, that the Bab Machteres, anyone is allowed to kill him. Doesn't have to be the homeowner, and it could be with any way, any means possible, they're allowed to kill him. Well, Bishlam of Vuhuka Bekal Adam Yitzrich, I understand the Chiddush that someone else is allowed to kill him. Salkadayach Mina Balabayas, Udukim Leidein, not the Mamanat Smel Mamono, Avala Acher Lo. I would think that the whole Svar only applies to the Balabayas, because the whole point is that a person's not going to watch his house get robbed and stand idly by, but plenty of people will watch other people's houses get robbed and stand idly by. So Kamash Malan therefore comes to teach me the Rodefu, that the Ganav is a Rodef Vafilu Achanami, and therefore even somebody else is allowed to kill him. Elav Ameis Bekal Mishat Yachal Amis Alamali. But what's the Chiddush that you're allowed to do whatever means possible? Me Rotzeach Nafka. Don't I already know that from the case of a Rotzeach? Titania, because the Brisa teaches us, elaborates on the pasuk about a Rotzeach. Mos Yumas Hamake Rotzeachu. Ainly Elav Misa Amurabo. How do I know that if you can't kill him with the misa that he deserves, that you kill him in whatever means possible? Tamalomar mos yumas mikol makom. From the double phrase mos yumas, you see however you can kill him. So don't I already know that from the rotzeach? Why do I need to be told that same thing again by Bab Machteres? Says Mar, well, shiny yasam domakram mos yumas, because by the rotzeach there's a riboy in the pasuk to teach it to me. So I need to be told that it applies to Bab Machteres as well. Well, the Nigmar Minei, isn't that the way the Torah normally works? That it tells me it did in one place and I know automatically to apply it elsewhere? So Mishum Dav Rotzeach, V'gol Adam, Shneik Zim Laban Kechad, V'kol Shneik Zim Laban Kechad, Ein Melamdin. Since this idea that you can kill him with whatever means possible is true both of a Rotzeach and a Goel Adam who's avenging his relative's death, so I would think that those are the exceptions and they're not the rule, and therefore I need to be told that by Bab Machteres it applies as well because he's considered to be a Rodef. Tan Rabbanan, B'Machteres, say in the other Machteres. Why does the Torah, of all the ways a guy is going to break into your house, why does it give an example of Machteres? Gago, Chatzero, V'Karpefo, Minayin. What if he breaks in through the roof or through your courtyard or through your garden? How do I know that you're allowed to kill him in such a case as well? Tamalomer, Yimatzei Haganav, Mikol Makom. Ayim Kein, Matamalom, Machteres. So then why does the Torah give the example of Machteres if it's true of other ways of breaking in? Mineshe Grov Ganav, Mitzuim Machteres. Because that's normally the way Ganav and break in. Tani Yidach, another Brisa tells us, Machteres, Ein Liyal Machteres. Gago, Chatzero, V'Karpefo, Minayin. How do I know that it's true even if he breaks in other ways? Tamalomer, Yimatzei Haganav, Mikol Makom. So why does it give the example of Machteres? Machteraso zui asraaso. To tell me that that's considered, the fact that he's in a Machteres means he doesn't require any further asra. You're allowed to kill him. Amravuna. Katan or Rodef, if a katan is chasing after someone to kill them, nita natsila benafsho, you can save the katan from killing somebody by killing the katan. Kasada Rodef in Atzar Chasra, because a Rodef does not require Asra, and therefore, loshna gadol loshna katan. If someone is threatening someone else's life, you kill the somebody who's threatening someone else's life, even if he's a katan. Say, Esfer of Chisla Ravun, Rav Chisla challenges this. Yatza Rosha, a woman's in childbirth, Rachman al son, it's not going well. The head comes out, the baby's head comes out, and he's threatening the mother's life. Say, Enogan. You're not allowed to kill the baby at that point. Because one nefesh is no more valuable than the other. But isn't the katan a rodef? He's killing his mother. He's not intentionally doing anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a situation where the mother Nebuch is dying in childbirth. Maybe we'll bring a raya to Rav Huna that Rodif does not require Esra. Rodif, Shai Rodif, Akhavir, Lahar, Gorm, La Reisha, Yisrael, Ben, Brisu, Vatar, Amashavitam, Adam, Adam, Dama, Yishafeich. You give a Hasra, Amratar, Atzel, Damushalzeh, Vidamushalzeh. And the Torah says you're allowed to save the Nirdaf with the Rodif, even though the guy was never Makabal, the Hasra. So says Mari, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudi. That's going like the sheet of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudi. The time Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudi, Chavar, Ain Tzarech Hasra, Lefishlo, Nin Hasra, Lahavkin, Bein Shogeg, Lemezid. No, it's assuming that Hasra is only to be able to distinguish between a Shogeg and a Mezid. So the Brisa that brings the case of Hasra without a Kabbalah Hasra, that's by a Stam Rodef, that's Nama Aretz, that maybe he doesn't know what's Mutter, what's Aser. So you need to warn him, but you don't need him to be Makabel, the Hasra. But according to the Chacham, who disagreed with Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah, there's no heter to kill the Rodef without Hasra. Tashma, another Raya. Rodef, Shay Rodef, Achaver, Lahargo, Ormelo, Rei, Shay Yisrael, Ben Brisu, Vatar, Omer, Shavik, Dama, Dama, Yishafeich. Se'im, Omer, Yodei, Ani, Shukei. And if he says, I know that's true, Pater, he's still Pater. That's not a Kabbalah Hasra. Almanaskein, Ani, Yosef. He says, I'm doing it anyway, then Chayiv. So don't you see from there that the Chiv and Pater are that you're allowed to kill him or not allowed to kill him. So you need a Hasra for a Rodef. Says, Malo, Tzricha, Dekai, Betray, Abi, Dinar. No, we're talking about a case where you're not able to get this Rodef. He's on the other side of the river. The best you could do is bring him to a Beis Din. So to do that, Beidina Bayi Asra, the Beis Din is going to require Asra. Ibai Seima Amalach Rafuna Anoda Amri Kitana Demachteres. I hold, says Rafuna, that you're allowed to kill the Rodef without saving the Nirdaf, even without Asra, in order to save the Nirdaf, even without Asra, like the Tana of Machteres, Tama Machteres, Zui Asra, so who holds that the Machteres is the Asra. Okay, but from tomorrow, we'll pick up on the top of Ayin Gimel Amada Aleph. Everyone have a great day.